goes on the ballot.
I mean, we could pass it now and then have that option again.
We'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting for January 29th, 2020 to order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is on my wall to the on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Tiemann, Dorn, and Byers. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 15th, 2020. Approve all claims through January 29th, 2020 in the amount of $481,010.04. Accept claim number 20010347 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $173.54 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids for furnishing gravel and crushed rock and or hauling product beginning March 11th, 2020 and ending March 10th, 2021. Bids to be opened on February 26th, 2020 at 9:15 a.m. Approve specs and call for bids for the purchase of 32,000 gallons of unleaded 87-810 gasoline and 63,000 gallons of number 2 premium diesel fuel for the year 2020. Date of award through November 30th, 2020. Bids to be opened on February 26th, 2020 at 9:30 a.m. Approve and place on file extension, programming, and financial summary for 2019.
I would move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Are there any items to discuss on that? I guess I would ask on item 5, that contract goes through March 10th, 2020. Does our previous contract end March 20th or 21st? So that contract will be null. There won't be any material hauled from that contract after March 20th?
Well, they'll have to finish up what townships we don't have done. The fall allotment that isn't done, there's 10 of them that have not been done.
That would be my only question. Are we out of contract then if there's an end date on that?
I don't think so. I don't know. We can have overlapping contracts.
What's that?
We can have overlapping contracts where the previous year's rock and gravel is still being hauled while the new contract takes effect.
If there's an end date on that contract, can we still
haul?
Well,
if there's an end date on it, you have to basically reapprove it.
That's what I wondered. There's an end date on our contract for gravel from last year.
But it's last year's gravel you're still picking up.
We can do that after the contract date still?
Well, as long as the vendor's willing to abide by his contract. And I don't think there's any end dates on those, are there?
I didn't think so either, but it says there are.
We've done it in the past. Because a lot of these contracts in the past, we haven't filled them until the next year.
That's why I was questioning this date.
So just because of the nature of it. So.
Okay, that was my only question. Is it says there's an end date, so I didn't know if that had to be picked up by the item 6, item 5.
Basically, with the gravel, it becomes virtually impossible to do that and get it all delivered within
but
the
I think
the
that's
calendar
what
year.
Our specs read, and that's why that's what our specs read, apparently.
It reads
beginning March 11, 2020
to
March 10th, 2021.
March 10th, 2021, so our last one would probably be March 10th, 2020.
Well, you're not going to be behind next year anyhow, are you?
This year we are. Last year we weren't. It just depends on the year.
Well, I would suggest just take it up then if you run into no problem. Because, I mean, this is basically the way we've always done it.
Okay. We have a motion by Byers, second by Dorn. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 20010347 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $173.54. This brings the total amount of the claims approved through January 29th, 2020 to $481,183.58.
I would move to approve claim number 2001347.
Second.
Second by, moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Discussion, vote, 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. We've got public, welcome. It's kind of nice. No comment though. So we will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave. You got us all in the building this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
No, kind of surprising. I didn't know it would a little more than what I thought. As far as the move over at the West Sheriff's remodel, that went well as a move can go. And they are all set up for business now. We still have a lot of just small jobs to get done yet over there, but it looks like it's working well over there. The very west section there needs to be have mortar put in it yet, and then Toby will acid wash that front, so it's nice. We're gonna have some good days coming up. He will wrap that up, and we're still checking on the awning on the front. So all in all, it's getting really close to being complete. Extension office, I did have to run out there. They had they're having trouble with loose windows. Well, when I went out there and saw, it's actually just the glass in the frame is loose. I talked to Ham Glass, Fairway Glass, and they said that there's new stops that they can actually take the framework off and add some new stops to do that. So that should fix that problem. And the last thing I have, I did ask Steph Perkins to come and just give a little talk about the holiday lights today. So if Steph could come up.
My husband's here too, I'm sorry.
We'd love to have you, Steph, but somebody following you there.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I'm
identify
Steph Perkins.
Yourself.
I'm Steph Perkins, and this is JT Thornburg. And many of you know, for the last 32 years, this guy's been bugging you a lot about this beautiful building that we have, so well-known in Gage County and all over the state. This man had a passion about how to make this building look even more enhanced than it is. And with that, he thought, I'll put lights on it. And a light bulb went off, right? And this man, with his passion, has worked so hard for the last 32 years. And I want to thank you for all your help and the supervisors before you and our committees and the media for helping us to showcase and get the publicity about this building. The whole community loves this, what we're doing with the lighting at the courthouse. And JT's going to step down as our chairman, but the committee is going to go on, and he's going to be our general consultant, like you will be too. We'll all be working together to continue this project for many, many more years. And we just wanted this opportunity with the supervisors to celebrate this man and to just honor him today with a little smaller version of the courthouse, okay? And then also, we would like to give you this plaque. And your committee's here, too. They're all here. They're all part of it. It's just not me. For J.T. Thornburg, thanks for brightening our holiday season for 32 years and with our holiday lighting. So, J.T., you're the man, and thank you so much for your passion.
JT, on behalf of the county and the board and the people of the county, thank you very much. Without people volunteering and all the work that you and your committee put in, things like this just can't happen. So we really do appreciate it. The town enjoys it. The community enjoys it. People from outside of the community, it really showcases the building. And, I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. But without hard work from volunteers like you, it just can't be done. So thank you very much.
With the support of the community, it was easy. And I'm very humbled to have been involved with it. It was kind of, like I said, an idea that materialized and it worked out. Thank you.
Thank you. Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance. Try to follow that up, Terry.
His light hasn't gone on.
Okay, Washington County Sheriff's Department, Board of Estates and Medical, $15,153.02. Windstream Courthouse, phones, $22,611.72. Auto Repair Plus, parts and labor repaired on a road department vehicle, $18,022.09. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $14,154.93. City Beatrice, quarterly 9/11 service fee, $55,697.25.
Anything else for finance and insurance? Human Resources, Employee Relations. Non-existent. Last call out was to fix a pothole that popped out on the South Spur. But thanks for asking. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management. Nothing from Lisa. I'm sure the sheriff has something for us. Sheriff.
Nicely.
Could you repeat that into the...
No. Overall, it's been pretty good. Screening stations working pretty well. A couple hiccups here and there, but working through those and getting that taken care of. I think I've got the parking situation where I want it to be as best I can. I think I sent emails to you and to you, so you'll have that. You can share with the rest of the board. I'm tired of talking about parking. So, otherwise, like Dave said, we are transitioned over into the new portion, and we're just going to work on a few things and tweak a few things. Hopefully, I'll get myself by spring to make sure we're kind of up and running really well, but otherwise it's where it needs to be. So otherwise, we don't have a lot on the agenda except for later on after meeting for negotiations.
That was great.
Wasn't that wonderful? Didn't ask for money? You told me nothing? It was good. All good.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Yes.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Okay. Rock and gravel bids will go out on February 26, 2020, and at 9:15 a.m. I don't know what that means. Fuel bid goes out on February 26th. We're bidding 32,000 gallons of gasoline, 63,000 gallons of diesel. The NDOT, which pays 55% up to $200,000 now. Galen submitted 8 projects and had 3 approved. All 3 are removing bridges and replacing them with culverts. They hopefully will be designed and installed this year yet, but we've had 3 of them from last year that haven't been completed. And a total approved for Gage County since it started has been 8 projects, so this has been a good thing for us. We've got a lot of things accomplished that we probably wouldn't have had without this support from the state. 1- and 6-year plan will be ready for approval February 12th. Galen will have Manelli continue and finish the design of the Claytonia Bridge that was not selected, but will be resubmitted for round 5 of the state project. hopefully we can get that done. That's something we've talked about. And in the future, I think if I remember correctly, it's a $600,000 to $800,000 project estimate. It's a big one, but something has to be done. We've kind of repaired it, and it's getting to a place where repairs have to be replaced with a new one. We might have to go that one on our own if we can afford it. Discussion on the perforated blade controls used on ice and gravel. And, of course, John asked about when the Holmesville Bridge bids will go out. Galen's checking.
I didn't see the "and, of course" on the notes. But anything else for Roden Bridge? Up next would be Jared Reimer. I don't see him, so we'll come back to him later in the agenda. And then we have a timed event, so we will skip down to approve or disapprove. Oh, that's not going to work. We will. We need to have the public hearing before we can do that. So
yeah, you have to do the recommendation.
Approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for wine and ale tasting fundraiser for St. Paul's School, located at the Four Generations Barn on March 6th, 2020. Do we have something from the Sheriff's Department on that?
I've got to get down to it. We've got the letter here.
Letter of approval from the Sheriff's Department is here. We have a motion by Bauman. Second by Byers to approve this to the Liquor Commission. Any discussion? Vote. Mr. Juergens?
All right.
7 in favor, motion carries. Just wanted to make sure.
All right.
Approve or disapprove the recommendation for special designated liquor license to Biggs for Beatrice Bullets Baseball Fundraiser. Beatrice Bullets Baseball Fundraiser, located at 1100 West Sargent Road, Beatrice, Nebraska, on February 15th, 2020. And we have like letter from the sheriff on that event.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Byers. Any discussion? My son as well. Mr. Juergens?
Two comments I want to make. I attended this event last year, and it was well run, well organized, a good time for everybody involved. It's at Mr. Carson's shop out here on Sargent Street, and good location for it, a lot of room to park and everything else. The second thing is, I will abstain from this because I have a connection with Biggs. So.
As a patron or owner?
Both.
Any further discussion? I'd ask you to vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Up next is approve or disapprove referring University of Nebraska Foundation conservation easement to Planning and Zoning Commission for its comment on the conformity with the proposed easement with the comprehensive plan. What this is turning this request over to PNZ from the University of Nebraska Foundation based on recommendation by PNZ's counsel, Justin Huber, for how this needs to work. It'll go to PNZ. They'll see if it fits. If it fits, they'll make a recommendation, vote on it, send it back to us, and then it would be voted on as a permanent conservation easement. Moved by Hill, second by Juergens, to approve referring University of Nebraska Foundation conservation easement to PNZ. Vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Seeing Jared Reimer is not currently here, and our next item would be a timed event. We do need to have a closed session for an emergency security concern. We'll take care of that now, and we will reconvene at 9:30 on the clock for the timed event, which is a public hearing to support or oppose the continuous election of the Office of County Surveyor.
My only question is there any possibility of reconvening sooner if Jared Reimer shows up?
It's 9:07. If it's not, I'm guessing we're going to burn through that amount of time. Do we need a motion to go into closed session? I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session for an emergency security concern.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Jurgen, second by Dorn. Vote. 7 in favor. We are in closed session at 9:07 on the clock. I would ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 9:30 on the clock.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Bauman to come out of closed session at 9:30 on the clock. Vote. 7 in favor. We are out of closed session. We have a timed event at 9:30. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing to hear support and or opposition on the continuous election of the Office of County Surveyor.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Hill, to go into public hearing at 9:30 on the clock. Vote. 7 in favor. We are in public hearing. 6 in favor. We are in public hearing. What this is there's some legislative action in 2014, which makes us decide if we're going to continue to have a county surveyor that is elected versus appointed. If we want to have an elected one, we need to vote. So if we do not vote to keep the elected position of county surveyor, then it becomes then it goes to a vote of the people. The people can decide if it becomes an appointed position or an elected position. If it's an elected position, it's a position the same as us, half pay of a normal official, as well as coinciding benefits. If it's appointed, then we would have to go through some type of process where we would decide who we are going to appoint to that position. More than likely, a county our size, we would appoint someone and then pay them at a set hourly rate. Chris's term is not up until 2022. If we are not going to put that on the ballot in 2022, if we're not positive about that right now, Don has said that we should vote to keep it an elected position now, and then in 2021 at this time, prior to the election, we would decide if we're not going to have it elected or if we're going to have it appointed. We could decide at that time.
So he currently serves in an elected capacity. If we choose to keep it and then go to the vote of the people, if we do it now, is there potentially to re-elect him or unelect him?
Okay. So the way the information was sent to me is that right now you have to decide before February 1 if you want to maintain the elected position or if you want to put it on the ballot, then let the voters decide. That would go on this ballot for 2020. If we keep it elected position right now based on this resolution, then in 2021, based on this information that I've received, we then have to ask the question of electing a county surveyor can be placed on that next general election. So if you approve it now, it doesn't mean that that's from now forever, because in 2021 we have to go through this again.
You can't do that. You don't have to. You can just let it slide.
Right.
I did not talk to Chris before this meeting. I called several surveyors just to see where we would be at for costs, just for dollars and cents wise. And it's very feasible to hire it out hourly. It's going to be a fair amount less money, but it's no longer an elected official. If we choose to make this an appointed position, then I would say it probably becomes that way forever. You know, if we ever decide that, or if we make the people vote on it and it goes that route, I would assume it would never change back.
Anytime the populace has an opportunity to vote, I'm always in favor of that. Let them vote.
That's the direction I would lean. Chris does an outstanding job for the county.
Nothing against him. It's just they get, let the people decide. Let the 22,000 voters or whatever.
Do you want to do that now, though? Like Don said, he is elected through 2022.
That's what his term is.
So
we elected him, so I wouldn't contend we take anything away because they elected him.
Nothing will be taken away.
It would cease to exist. By this information, it ceased to exist at the end of the term of the incumbent, and the office becomes an appointed position. So he still would be in office.
He's still going to finish his term out, and he would run again in its current capacity if he wanted it.
There's a sign-up sheet, I'll say, on the table, too, if anyone would like to speak on this. I should have said that. We're in public hearing, so anyone that wants to speak at the public hearing, please sign up, and we'll give you a chance to speak at that. You can speak, too, Jared, if you'd like to. But
I think I'll probably remain silent.
do you have opinion, then, Mr. Bauman, if you want that to be on this election? Because if we take no action, that will go on to this election and the end of the year.
The way I understand it, how you explained it to me, is it doesn't affect the current office holder's position, whether
correct.
They do it now or later. I'm just in favor of letting the people vote. Whether it happens now or later,
if you don't do it now, the next election won't be until 2 years, which will be the same time.
But if you don't take action by resolution to keep it elected, then it has to go on the ballot in November.
This year,
mm-hmm. Yes.
But
the other one, the other way you're talking would go into 2022.
But then you'd have it at the same time as what the surveyor would be running, which would be
his term would be older. Yes.
Yeah.
So he could potentially be running and not know if he has an elected. Okay, that makes a lot of sense too.
This is what it says. For all counties after 2021, beginning in 2021, the question of electing a county surveyor can be placed before voters at the next statewide general election by county board action or a petition. If the county board wants to place the issue on the ballot, it must adopt a resolution on or before September 1 prior to the election. And then it talks about the petition process. And then it just says if the majority of the votes cast are against the election of an office, cease to exist.
I guess my thought was we talked to Chris before we did anything. But you make a really good point. If we would not do anything, then he would be trying to run. It would be on the ballot. Not only is he elected, but it would also be saying, is he in elected position? So he may not be in elected position, and he'd be running for that position.
As the election commissioner, do we have time now to get it on the ballot relatively no cost? It wasn't going to cost us to do it.
The county pays for those kind of issues anyhow, but I mean, it's a small language, so it's going to take a small portion of the general or your ballot.
I say let people vote as soon as they can. They get an opportunity that's coming around. It's going to be a big election. You'll get a big turnout.
Yeah, this 2021, if you chose to go that route, you would have to decide before September 1, and then that gives, because your filing deadline starts December 1 of that year for the next year. So everybody would know by September what you're going to do.
I think our proposed resolution covers all of that. I don't see anything in there that it doesn't cover, giving people the right to vote.
Well, if you pass the resolution, this is saying you want it to stay as an elected official position. If you do nothing, then it's going to go on the ballot.
So if we disapprove,
or if you just take no action, it's going to go on the ballot.
So if we don't vote on this, if we take no action on this outside of public hearing on this next item, take no action, then it goes on to the ballot. And the people have the right to choose if it's elected or appointed. If we approve the item, then we maintain a
elected position. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which I think is appropriate.
To maintain an elected position,
yes.
Or to let the people choose if it is?
Well, if you let the people choose, it's elected.
I see what you're saying. I would say put it on the ballot and people vote. Anytime the populace gets an opportunity to vote on something, I think we should. If it's written this way that they get an opportunity, let them vote on it. The beauty is if they say make an appointed, it gives us a couple of years to get the process in place to make an appointed person.
Okay, so along with that, that would mean we take no action on the next action item outside of public hearing, and the people have the right to decide if it's elected or not. Did you have something here?
People like to vote on stuff.
Is there anything else for the public hearing? I guess that's a very, very valid point to let the people decide instead of us deciding for them, since the legislature's given them the opportunity to vote on this. Any further comment? Anything from the public?
You know how confusing this is going to be for the public?
We're going to have to try to explain this.
Is that your job or the other cabinet?
I would say, being we have a former member of the unicameral. If there's nothing else for the public hearing, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:39 on the clock.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman, second by Hill to come out of public hearing at 9:39 on the clock. Vote 7 in favor. We're out of public hearing. Now, the next agenda item is approve or disapprove resolution to continue to provide for the lawful constitutional right of election of a county surveyor by the registered voters of the county of Gage. If we take action on this, and Mr. Bauman, the way Mr. Bauman put that, if we take action on this, the people don't have the right to choose if it's a elected position. If we do take, no, I said that backwards. If we do nothing, if we choose not to do anything with this motion, the people will decide if it's an elected position instead of us. If we take action, we decide if it's an elected position instead of the people. But we do have this on the agenda, so failure of a motion or a second would be no motion. So up would be approve or disapprove resolution to continue to provide for the lawful constitutional right of election of a county surveyor by the registered voters of the county of Gage, Nebraska.
Basically, it says if you don't adopt that resolution,
it goes to the people.
Yes. You don't take a negative vote on it. You just don't adopt.
So lack of motion would mean we do not adopt. Mm-hmm. I'll ask, though, again, is there a motion?
Motion to adopt
this resolution. For failure of a motion to adopt this resolution, this will, by statute, go to the election this year to the people to decide if there will be an elected position of county surveyor versus an appointed position for the same position.
And again, I think it's just good to know for the press release that the term of the current surveyor will continue to its end.
The current surveyor's term is through 2022. That will not change. This will, as Mr. Bauman stated, allow the people to decide if that position will be elected or appointed, and it will also allow that office to run if they're going to need to, or if it's not elected, they'll know that they do not need to run. So that really does allow that office holder a little more leeway as well. All right, moving on. Jared Reimer, we have a Washington update from our Congressman Adrian Smith. Jared, please give your name and address for the record.
I'm Jared Reimers. I'm here on behalf of Congressman Adrian Smith out of his office located at 1811 West 2nd Street, Suite 275, Red Island, Nebraska. And I'm here to provide a quick update on his policy work in D.C., in addition to a general reminder about opportunities for services here in Nebraska. And with that, I'll start with the opportunities for services. Just so you're aware, the Congressman's casework staff are all housed in Grand Island. Their exclusive role is to provide assistance in navigating federal bureaucracy for residents of the 3rd District, and in our case, we define residents as organizations, governmental entities, constituents. Our only real requirement is that there is a mailing address that exists within the 3rd District's zip code list to be able to provide assistance. And assistance looks like anything from letters of support for grant documents to securing passports in an expeditious manner to potentially working through citizenship concerns, social security concerns, or working with the IRS on a number of matters. It's a broad enough issue, frankly, that I can tell you if we there's a federal dollar involved in whatever the issue is that you're having problems with, it's very likely we can assist with it, with the one exception being the courts. Anything that's involved in the judicial system whatsoever, we cannot touch at all because of the separation of powers. As far as the congressman's policy work is concerned, he continues to be a member of the Ways and Means Committee. On that committee, he serves as a senior member of what they now call the Committee on Select Revenue Measures. For reference purposes, this used to be the Committee on Tax Policy, but one of the opportunities that exists for the majority caucus in every Congress is to change the names of the committees, and that was one of the actions that the current majority caucus chose to take at the beginning of this Congress. As far as policy work is concerned, really the big priorities for the congressman have been about working on convincing the EPA to stop issuing so many small refinery waivers, as far as for biofuels, which has harmed a lot of production for biofuels. And we did get good news yesterday from an appeals court that did acknowledge that the EPA has, at least in a few instances of these waivers, overstepped their constitutional authority. So that's good news for the biofuel industry. In addition to that, the congressman's worked on trade, and particularly with the USMCA, in addition to the Japan-US agreement, has been a focus of his for particularly growing in the Nebraska ag. That's one of the reasons he's agreed to co-chair at the beginning of this Congress the Japan-US caucus. And while that may sound completely tertiary and pointless, the purpose of the Japan-U.S. caucus is to provide legislators in the House and legislators in the Japanese Diet, their Japanese equivalent, an opportunity for networking and relationship building, which is one of the most direct opportunities that members have to work on and work out issues for documents like trade agreements. And that work is part of the reason why we were able to announce through the USDA late 2019, a reduction in beef tariffs in Japan for the first time since the mad cow disease crisis. As far as the USMCA is concerned, he participated throughout the, as directly as a member is able, throughout the entire process, and is actually at the White House today to participate in the signing of it with the president. And that will mean a lot of additional flexibility for Nebraska ag, but in particular, it means growth of export opportunities for energy, in addition to some clarification about what made in Canada and made in Mexico means, because if you weren't aware, those labels up to now really meant you were buying a lot of products that were technically made in China and assembled in Mexico or Canada. Now they've got some percentage requirements that are more clear and along the lines of what the auto industry is required to do to guarantee that the production and the assembly is actually happening in those countries like what it was supposed to under the original NAFTA agreement. There's a lot of other policies I could review, but for purposes of time and out of respect for the rest of your agenda, do you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
What's Congressman's position on the impeachment of the president?
The congressman voted against the articles in the House. And after that, he's maintained his role as a citizen as far as the Senate is concerned, but he's not supportive of the way that the impeachment came about, especially given the Speaker's stance originally of wanting it to be bipartisan and wanting the information in regard to whatever the President could potentially be accused of to be overwhelming, to being not so much at this point in terms of the information being overwhelming. Not being bipartisan.
bipartisan in nature as far as the votes were concerned in the House.
But the vote has been absolutely bipartisan.
No. There's actually...
Well, there are four Republicans who went the other way, I think.
Four Democrats that went the other way.
The only Republican-oriented member of the House that did not vote against was Representative Justin Amash from Michigan. There were some freshman members of the Democratic caucus that split their votes between the articles. But generally speaking, other than those, I believe, five, possibly six members, it was cleanly bipartisan.
Bipartisan.
Just another question pertaining to how much time has the House spent on this impeachment trial? When did this start? Is that all it got done?
2 years ago.
What's in the news now is the Senate.
Right, I realize that. I'm talking about Mr. Smith and the House that he's in. How much time did they spend doing this?
As far as the committee, as far as the member and committee money, time spent on the matter, it began, I believe, in mid-September. And at that time, it was one committee. And committees, depending upon their role within the House, are a handful of members up to the Ways and Means is one of the largest with, I believe, 30 or 40 members involved. And when it started in September, it was that specific committee's primary focus. Outside of that committee, the House continued with its normal day-to-day
business. It did. So there was other things going on. That was my question.
USMCA, though, sat there for... the better part of a year, is that correct?
Speaker Pelosi really.
No, it was because of the speaker directly.
Yeah, the way that the legislative agenda gets decided in the House is the leadership team makes a decision on what the House floor is allowed to vote on. And that's after it's gone through the subcommittee and committee structure. And whatever they decide collectively, the members can vote on. With one exception, and I'll explain that in a second, they are allowed to vote on. And the caveat to that, if you will, is that the leadership team is comprised of the majority and minority leader and their assistants, so the two Republicans and two Democrats, and then whoever is the speaker. So in this case, it's a 3-2 vote, generally, as far as what's allowed to be voted on. There is a petitioning process that you can use to circumvent that, but it requires 51% of the members of the House to agree to consider a vote for the speaker to be circumvented.
And how many House bills are sitting in the Senate waiting for the speaker to advance and do a vote?
The House passes. And this is regardless of who's the leader in the Senate and the House. The House generally passes a large amount of bills relative to what the Senate ever passes. And part of that's the structure of the two. You're not incorrect in saying that it's any way like the Speaker Leader McConnell has quite a few. But
yes, he does.
I historically, that's not.
And it seems like a process that probably needs some revision to it going forward.
Well, and the Senate has that prerogative. So. And through a simple majority, they can change their rules at any time. The House is a little bit more structured, but the Senate is a living body in that sense.
Is anybody keeping tabs on the total cost of this relative to dollars being spent there versus, say, homeless veterans? Education, dollars that aren't going out to the states that are tied up and mired in this process. And it's a very divisive process, and it's the total cost to see there's very little to no benefit to the populace going through this process, regardless of whatever president, whatever party. You spend a lot of money and
infrastructure needs, homeless veterans, human trafficking, things like that. So the big things really hit home, and it's frustrating. I'd be curious to know the sheer dollar amount that we spend there, that we spend as a country, wrapped up in that process.
And that's something I can definitely request more information on and get back to you on.
I just haven't seen any number come out of there. It's not talking. Maybe I don't want to.
I'm not trying to dance around your question as so much as I'm being honest that I don't know.
There's no video that's keeping track of that.
I will tell you, given the way in which the House side of things managed the impeachment process, it would be hard to give you a straight answer because it was intertwined with standard committee business. So to separate it out, I'm not sure there's a way to do it cleanly, but I will certainly inquire.
At the risk of picking a side, you look at whether it's the Mueller report, or you go through some of that stuff that takes place, the sheer years that go by, the dollars that are invested in that, it's just...
Millions of dollars.
I would hazard a guess that the larger number would be the loss of productivity opportunities, more than... anything else, because the dollars that would be significant in this conversation would be more about the choice to do the committee. Adam Schiff's committee that oversaw most of the House process. The majority of their meetings, once they declared articles, were held in what they call the SCIF, which is the essentially top secret room in the House side. And when that's operated, security costs are quite a bit higher, regardless of what's actually happening in the room. Just operated quite a bit higher than a typical community fund.
There's just so much business that doesn't get done.
Yeah.
Well, we heard a lot of backwards ideas of what the Founding Fathers would have thought during that work done in the House. It seems like if Congressman Smith could kind of keep in mind the Founding Fathers' actual ideas, like I think he does, we all appreciate it here. Any other questions for Mr. Reimers? Jared, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Thank you for the time and have a good rest of the meeting.
Tell the Congressman hi for me.
Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Juergens. I'd ask you to vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting nay. <in. laughs>
So
we are adjourned at 9:56 on the clock.